Everybody, it's time once again for TWIM.
There's a lot of pretty girls in the city.
This Week in Mormons.
There's a lot of pretty girls.
We're at you once again, celebrating spring. Happy spring, everyone. Happiest of springs to you.
Oh, yeah. Happy spring. Spring has sprung. Here we are. Congratulations, Jeff.
I fought hard for this.
I mainly attribute spring to you.
You should see the cherry blossoms in D.C. right now. They're everywhere.
There they are.
It's pretty nice. I'm not going to lie.
They're in my mind.
I don't really know what that means.
How was your travels this week?
Oh, it was splendid. I went up to Palmyra. I saw church history sites.
Did you see anything interesting in Palmyra?
Well, it was fun for me. I've never done much church history stuff aside from things like in Salt Lake and Provo or whatever. And it was cool. I mean, it was fun to go see the Hill Cumorah was neat. I don't think I really felt much of anything there.
It's a little bit underwhelming of a hill, isn't it?
It's still a good hill. It's a good hike to get up there. I didn't drive.
It's a good hill, but you look around and you're like, there's a lot of hills here.
Yeah. You see old photos, though, and you see how much it sticks out when there weren't trees on it or anything like that. So it's kind of cool. You're there at the monument, like, hey, the reality sets in a little bit. Like, Joseph Smith walked here. I don't think until this weekend I'd ever been anywhere in my life where Joseph Smith had actually been physically.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, that didn't enhance the experience a ton, but it gives it a little more depth, I suppose.
I feel like you should spend more time in Kansas City, Jeff.
I should.
Because Joseph Smith walked a number of places here. Around Independence, the old Liberty Jail, and of course, Arthur Bryant's Barbecue.
Of course.
Down on the Gateway.
Yeah, and so I also learned that he walked quite the ways from the Smith family farm to the Hill Cumorah.
Oh, he was a walker.
Those are some miles right there, man. Sheesh.
People forget he liked to walk.
Like the Pioneer Children.
This man, he had boots made for running, but he wouldn't use them for running very often. No. He walked.
Well, there we go.
Often.
So it was cool. I enjoyed that. I went to the Grandin Building where the Book of Mormon was first published. Learned a lot.
I really liked the Grandin.
Yeah, it's cool,
building.
Too.
I think that's very well done.
There were a lot of things I didn't realize, too, that 5,000 books was a big order, even for a major area like New York City, let alone a hamlet like Palmyra. So it was cool. The mission president of the Rochester Mission happened to be there during our little tour, so he added a whole level of insight into the proceedings.
Was he like one of those obnoxious guys that's like, actually, you might be interested to know, but Joseph Smith came in here on a Tuesday night when it was storming. And everybody's like, seriously, dude?
He wasn't quite to that extent, but it was like after the sister missionaries do their kind of their spiel in each section, they say, well, do you have any questions, any thoughts? And he would always be like, well, I have something to say, They'd be like, sister, he's doing a bit of a dual role, kind of like his own insights and also like helping his missionaries be more effective because, he's in charge of them and he's in charge of those church history sites. So, but it was cool. Some good insights. And then a funny guy on our tour talked too in depth about Alma the Younger. Like, he just kept going. Like, it's like, he was a bad guy. I mean, like, all the women he was with and who knows what else.
Did the sisters blush?
No, he did. No.
What?
No.
No. No. No, they took it all in stride.
Yeah, one of them was like a little hipster. It was so funny. Little hipster missionary.
An old Macy Halliday.
So, yeah, I forgot about her. Didn't she get married? I don't even know. Anyway, so it was that. Palmyra Temple was cool. The Sacred Grove I went to the next morning, which was nice and interesting and peaceful.
Was it empty? Or was
it was very empty. Nice time of year to go. There's just nobody there. I can't imagine what it's like when you go there in the summer months when all the families are there and it's just like bonkers all around all these church history sites.
It's actually not bad. The Sacred Grove is interesting because it handles crowds really well because it's just, it turns from like this very alone sacred time into like a very nice peaceful walk in a lovely park. So I feel like it handles it well.
Okay.
The thing that I liked a lot about Sacred Grove, well, and you probably saw this, but like going early in the morning, And like, there's a couple of good stops along the way. It's one of those that's not, it wasn't super impactful for me the first time I went, but it was like, it was more so the more I went. It was kind of similar to a, kind of similar in that way to the temple for me. The temple, if I go and I haven't been in a while, I get nothing out of it. All I'm doing is like relearning how to focus.
Right.
And then after I go a few times, it starts to make more impact for me.
Hmm. That's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you went to Niagara, the gambling capital of Ontario.
Oh, yes, sir. I had an international weekend. I am an international businessman.
Did you get a stamp in your passport?
No, they don't really. I forgot to ask them for one. They just, you know, they look at the passport and wave you in and they don't care.
Yeah, that's true.
But it was lovely. I sent you a picture of the view I had from my hotel. It was great. All the falls. I saw them in so many ways, and it was very pleasant.
The first time I went to Canada, my old mission buddy picked me up. I flew into Buffalo because it's way cheaper than flying into Toronto. So he picks me up in Buffalo, and we're driving back across the border. And we get up to the front, or to the guy checking us in, the border patrol. And he looks into our car and sees us. Two jolly missionary companions reunited at last. He says, "Are you here for business or leisure?" And I look at him and I say, "No, I'm here for pleasure." And he got this real puzzled look on his face. And I had that moment of like, wait, that could be taken a lot of ways. And then he just kind of shook his head, nodded, and sent us on. It was good times. Great times.
I was so excited to be in a foreign country. Even if it's Canada, it's still a foreign country, you know?
It's true. That's your first time to Canada since Vancouver.
Since Vancouver. So I've only been to British Columbia, and now I've been to Ontario. So
only Alberta left.
Yeah, of the ones that matter. But someday I'll go to Nova Scotia.
I won't Quebec. And
so what was fun is I was meandering around outside of, like, quote-unquote, Greater Niagara, and I saw a sign that said Toronto was only 100 kilometers away. And so I drove there for funsies, because it's right there.
Hey, yo.
I drove through Hamilton, and I thought of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. No, Hamilton is where I lived when I was up there.
I know. Isn't that weird? Because you're also from Hamilton, Missouri.
Neat, right? And there's really? A Burlington there and a Burlington, Vermont.
Amazing when place names are shared.
Anyway.
So that was cool. Toronto seemed pretty nice. I didn't see a ton of it, but I saw it.
Oh, there you go.
And it was St. Patrick's Day and people were drunk.
All fun things.
Yeah, so Canada, good. Woo. Rural Pennsylvania, very beautiful, especially Western Pennsylvania. Who knew?
I ate great barbecue, had nice, robust sandwiches with the Amish again, and that was the extent of my weekend.
That sounds pretty good.
Been working a lot. While you were traipsing about the country, I was the engine that made this capitalist behemoth go.
Also, I want to give a shout out to the members of the St. David's Ward. In the Niagara area, they were very welcoming, very nice ward, friendly people.
Wait, was that a family ward?
Yeah, family ward. Well,
I was
going to
say, I know my nice YSA ward. Wards up there, and there's no St. David.
No, very, very, very nice folks.
Yeah, thanks for shouting at them. That was nice of you.
I wanted them to know how much I appreciated their hospitality. Also, when we crossed back into the U.S., the border guy was like, "Where do you guys live?" I'm like, "Virginia." And then he started grilling me about why I had California plates on my car. It was a hairy moment for me.
Oh, yeah, they're looking for stuff like that. Any crack in the story, Jeff?
The guy is wondering why a California plated car is way up in, you know, Ontario. So
good point.
Understandable.
So
well, that's enough.
Wait, I want to hear the Botgate stuff. More Botgate.
Oh, there's not much to this, but like I told you, when I was with the mission president, President Christensen, who I believe used to be a BYU professor of religion, and he's well acquainted with Randy Bott, and he's discussed it, and he brought it up at some point for some reason, and he said that Randy Bott said the interview was supposed to be all about genealogy, and that all his quotes were taken out of context, and part of me was like, were they really? Because I think it's pretty hard to take that out of context. I don't know. But I wanted to give it the benefit of the doubt because this is a mission president and a good man.
Now, those that need the refresher, Randy Bott, of course, a couple of weeks ago, made some buttresses. Comments. Do you remember, like, Jeff, can you paraphrase the comments?
It was effectively that blacks did not get the priesthood because they would have, like, taken it for granted and abused it like a kid would with his parents' car.
They were better off not getting it because of what they would have done with it.
They were better off not getting it because if they would have, they would have like abused it.
So he says this in an interview, and it's correlated with blog posts that he's put up, not around genealogy, which he later took down, but you can still get the Google Cache version or the Web Archives version. The internet stays around, Mr. Bot. It sure does. And I think this is just a buddy standing up for a buddy, you know?
Yeah,
like when I go down in a pile of flames and they say, how could he say those things? You'll say, surely Al wouldn't have said that. That must have been taken out of context. Like any good friend would. And I would expect it of you, and you would do it, and I appreciate that. So, Randy Bot, you got some people standing up for you, even though you're wrong. Good for you. I did a little investigative reporting this week.
Do tell.
You remember, gosh, maybe a year or two ago, we talked about the guy cracked the code on how to pay your tithing online. And
I think that was, like Mormon Life Hacker or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while, but we've talked about it since then.
That guy went away, I'm pretty sure. I haven't seen any posts from him. But yeah, so obviously, I mean, it was a little bit of a tricky way of doing it. And I heard about it again a couple of times in the last year or so. And so this time when I got the Ford, I decided to check in on it. So I called there's a church donations team, which I think is actually interesting, that opens up at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and is open till 5:30. But a whole team of people handling donations for the church. Obviously, like, there's teams of people that do that for university and stuff. I don't know why I didn't realize they'd have it for the church, but they do. So, call them up and ask them if it was all right if this was something that I could set up. She said that the reason that it exists and that it is there, but the reason it exists is for international Americans living abroad so they don't have to pull money out, convert it into local currency to pay their tithing, just to have it converted back into American dollars, on the back end, right? And
well,
so if you're an American,
for a second?
If you're an American living abroad earning American dollars, then this is for you.
But that's it. But if you're like a Brit that also happens to be living in the Persian Gulf, working for an oil company, and you get paid in pounds sterling, you're up a creek.
You are up a creek. The reason being because it has to be converted into U.S. dollars anyway once it gets back to the church. So So her comment to me was that the church was actually working on a program to allow this for all church members, including the mobile version. And I asked for a timeline. She said within the next 5 years. It could be one of those things we'll never see, or it could be one of those things coming out in 3 months, and she's just not allowed to say. I don't understand why they don't do it, though. It would be so nice to put that on bill pay or just, like, put it in there and then go and show your bishop your confirmation number so that you can get a big smile and pat on the back. Because that's why we pay tithing. I mean, the alms are mainly so that people can see how much we give and how often.
Yes.
But I just thought it was interesting. I finally have some resolution on that. So don't go and sign up for all of this stuff. They're not looking to get everybody on ACH connection to the church. Pay through your local bishop unless you are abroad earning American dollars. Problem solved.
And so now the one other thing I want to learn more about, though, is because we're talking about, you know, this like paying online, paying electronically. But what are the steps one has to take if they just don't want to pay to their unit and they want, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and they want to pay just directly to Salt Lake, but still like via check or whatever, but they want to pay it to Salt Lake.
So I'm
not have it related to their unit number. They just want it to go
straight. This lady was actually very nice. I would suggest that you contact the church's donations team.
Al, will you provide us with that information?
Or if they, the one circumstance that I could see this being realistic is like if you had a sizable, you know, if you're donating Burger King and Domino's, you're probably going straight to the church. Mitt Romney, I'm looking at you.
Hello.
But, I mean, if you just don't want to pay to your bishop or something like that, you can probably work that out with your stake president. They're going, Dimes to Donuts, if I know this church, and I think I do, they're going to push you back to your local leaders all the way up the chain as much as they can, unless it's something like, I want to donate $1 million to the church. That's a different story, probably.
I would demand that money go to my local unit.
I would pay it all in fast offering.
Free Hot Pockets for everyone.
And put it to the Hot Pocket Fund in the church.
We would open up a tab.
Because when you specify which fund it goes to another, doesn't it have to go to that? Like, you can donate to your own mission fund as a 12-year-old, and they reserve that money for you.
Do they really, though?
They sure do.
It doesn't go into just a bigger pool, and then gets you back on the flip side.
Under that other. Work it out with your bishop, though, so he knows what you're doing. But
why
yes.
would you donate to your... I guess, why would you even do it when you're 12? It's not like you're getting interest on it or anything. Put it in the bank and then make more money off of it.
That is the savvy move, but if you wanted to. So that I'm saying we should donate to a Hot Pocket Fund.
Yeah, because I want my ward to be my holding tank for my savings.
And for your Hot Pockets.
And for my Hot Pockets. I mean, I lived off of those in the MTC. Come on.
I never trust
them. On Sundays
with
the blue card and the vending machine, it was just a Hot Pocket.
All right, I see where you're going.
Oh, yeah.
Your turn, Jeff.
Good times.
I suppose make magic happen. Is it getting too late there? Are you falling asleep?
A little bit. We have this knack nowadays for getting on to do the show, and then we spend an hour and a half talking about numerous other things before we ever actually decide to record. But
it's our own fault.
It is. So this one is for you, YSAcentral.com. This is for you. You guys sent us a tweet last week and said, you should do a show, a segment on YSA Central. Basically, they want us to promote them. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, great, build your website and pay us money and we will promote you all you want. Gladly.
No, here's a kicker. Well, so first, let's get your analysis on this, Jeff.
Okay.
YSA Central,
for those who are not aware, is intended to be the big LDS social network.
This is the Kickstarter project, right? It's not.
I don't think it's actually done through Kickstarter, but it's similar to that. Yeah.
It's not even a website, but it's they're asking for $60,000.
Yes, their video says that they've done 90% of the work and they've been doing this for 3 years, but they can't finish without our help. So if you want an LDS social network, and you don't want to get on like LDS LinkUp or something and enjoy just a janky free website, pay them money, and they will do it. They will build it.
Okay, neat. So here's what I hate about it.
We can offer both of our analyses.
Yeah, I hate it because it's just another, like, we don't need another social network.
But we do. This is special because it is for Mormons by Mormons. Everyone on there will be Mormon.
Yeah.
You don't have to wonder if some hot chick you find on one of your friends' lists might or might not be LDS. You know.
Guess what? Everybody, I'd say 90% of the people in any Mormon's Facebook friend group are probably Mormon. You've already got the exact
benefit.
But
what about the 10%?
It's good to be interacting with the 10%, Jeff.
It is not. I could risk going inactive if I
could. And let's be honest. So we've been on sites like LDS LinkUp or your... You know, back in the day, when I was 13, it was LDSChat.com, right? I mean,
was that like an IRC?
Oh, yeah. It was, well, so, I mean, they exist, right? They're out there. You can go find these Mormon communities, but they're not where everyone else is. And that's, I mean, you're not going to supplant Facebook. You're not going to supplant Twitter. I mean, the solutions are already there. You're not fixing a problem, morons. Especially not for 60 grand.
Look. How will YSA Central make my life better? YSA Central will unite you together in one big social circle with all the singles living within driving distance. Make socializing simple. Open up more frequent and fresh social opportunities.
Dude, the problem with this is the only people that need that are the socially awkward, goofy people. Like the people that are attractive and you know, have no problem making friends. The people that we want to date or that want to date us, they're not on LDS LinkUp looking for love on a random Friday night. They're out dating, doing things, or recording podcasts like us. So building a watering hole for a bunch of social rejects, it's already out there, guys. It's called World of Warcraft. Go get on your own Mormon guild and go tackle some mountains.
See, this is the thing. I feel like this site is also trying to do way too much. If you watch their incredibly long promotional video, it just keeps going with stuff stuff. But it is the anti-social platform. It is trying to, that's what it says. It is trying to, like, rope in all of your movies and an activity planning system and a communication tool and a platform for hobby and recreational groups, housing listings.
You know what I'm going to do for these guys? I'm going to send them a copy of Lean Startup by Eric Ries, and hopefully they'll see the error in their ways of trying to build this gargantuan system that they hope everybody will use that no one will. And then,
I mean, way,
out of thousands.
Way too big. And it's even trying to say local leaders can use it to, like, be better involved in their wards and track stuff, which the church would not be okay with in general. And half the time, like, my ward has a Facebook page right now, and it works great. And my bishop uses it actively, and so does everyone on the ward, and it's fine.
Dumb idea. All right.
Also, I want to get on them for the numerous grammatical errors within their video, because that just makes you look unprofessional.
And that's just Jeff. Don't feel bad about that. Grammar's
you should feel bad
hard.
About
Grammar's
it.
Grammar's hard. I got
it's
another
not
one.
Hard, especially when they say, for example, they say YSA is plural, as it should be in, right here on the page, YSA and then lowercase s, plural. Then they say YSA apostrophe s in the video.
Oh, it's possessive in the video.
But it's not possessive. It's like when people do that with the year, you know, like the 1980s. There's no apostrophe there.
So I got a...
There's no apostrophe there.
Uchtdorf. Old boy Uchtdorf, that fly boy. He went up with the Blue Angels this week.
I'm so happy about this.
I love this story. Because he's just like, he's such a cool dude. He's like this World War II fly boy. It's like, what's up? Like, if
that's
legal,
what he's like, what's up?
You no, if it was legal for him to smoke a cigarette and wear a leather jacket, like, that's exactly who Uchtdorf should be. And so he went up with the Blue Angels, flew with them. He didn't fly himself, but he was just like, yeah. Well, and he wasn't even that impressed. He was like, no, this is great. Up with the Blue Angels, but you know I flew, right? You know
is
I
from
did
Boston?
This.
What?
He's a little bit of Fonzie in my mind.
Your default anyone that's not Slavic accent is generally just the Fonz.
Or, yeah, a little New Jersey / Boca.
Hey. Hey.
So anyway, like, if you want to just get a cheeky grin, go watch this story. It's very entertaining.
So did he actually pilot any of the planes? Or did he
no,
just go
he just
for
rode
a ride?
In the back and was like...
What was the point of this, though? Was this at an air show or something in Utah?
And they gave 10 VIP slots to local people, and so one of them...
I'm guessing, was this at the air show up by the Air Force Base by Ogden?
I don't know, but I bet they called President Monson, and he was like, listen, guys, diet's been going bad. I'm not fitting back there anymore. I'm either sending Eyring or Uchtdorf. And Eyring was like, no way.
Who's
no
the
way.
Littlest apostle? I'm trying to think about it. I wonder who this is.
Richard G. Scott?
Yeah, but he's a very rotund fellow.
Yeah, he's short and rotund.
I mean, who is like the tiniest of the bunch?
Probably Henry B. Eyring. He's looked very frail.
President Eyring is really, he's really thin and stuff, but he's a reasonably tall guy.
Sure.
So I'm trying to think who fits the mold of, they're all kind of decent height right now.
Well.
Like, there's no Joseph B. Worthlin right now, you know, or
Worthlin's?
David B. Hay, just these little men.
Oh, yeah. Well, all of them were little.
I don't
roundy.
Think Elder Bednar is not wildly tall. He's probably only about 5'10". So let's say Elder Bednar fits.
Oh, okay. But he's a little pudgy, too. He's got a little meat on him.
No, Elder Bednar is not pudgy. Elder Bednar is fit as a fiddle.
No, he's not.
Oh, he is. I've seen him in person
I've seen him
times.
In person. I was like, dude.
Multiple times.
Are we eating the Supreme Pizza?
You cannot pull
like.
Off that fierce of a part with that short of hair and not be in shape. Like, he's done the unfathomable. I don't know how he even accomplishes it. His hair is so parted, but it's cut. It's like a number 4 around his whole head, and yet he has a part. I don't know how it's even done.
Amazing.
Oh, no, man's he's brilliant. Moving along here, to come as no surprise to anybody, last week, the Provo City Planning Commission heard a request from the city to vacate a portion of 100 South in Provo. Which we talked about before, you know, what the church's plans were for this. The commission, of course, unanimously recommended the approval so that the property could be sold to the church for part of its temple campus. So
we are all gasping.
We're not going to be having a Salt Lake City Main Street Plaza issue here, folks. No surprises here. Provo said, what the church wants, the church gets, and the church gets 100 South so that it can have one connected block.
Neat.
I also keep laughing at the artist renderings of the Provo Temple that completely omit the new skin building.
Yeah.
Behind it. That, like, it's there, towers. Folks. I mean, it's going to be this ugly tower right behind it, unless the church plans on buying that too and tearing it down, which I would not be opposed to.
They should.
Like, I'm okay with
new
my
skin. We call
that.
On you to demolish your own building.
Well, they can just go take the old the Novell building. Novell's not doing anything important anymore. Just tell them.
Or the Word Perfect buildings. Those are open.
The ones up in Orem.
So the church. I don't know if you got this, Jeff. Did you the church-wide email that went out?
I didn't actually get an email. I've heard the same letter read up from the pulpit. Two weeks in a row.
I'm pretty sure this is the first time that this has ever happened, but the church sent out an email to all of its members.
Or did I get it? Maybe I got... This rings a bell.
And
take me there.
So it sent out an email that was just like, hey, quit baptizing Jewish names. And kind of... I mean, for me, like... I don't know. I kind of liked... I think we should get a monthly newsletter or something. I was like, oh, that's great. The LDS Church. Or at least when important things like that happen.
They really mean business then, because this first there's been a letter read from the pulpit from Salt Lake.
But
which
I've never
seen an email.
Yeah, I've never seen an email. So they take that very seriously. They're not going to spam your account. And so the fact that they sent an email to try and hit every single member of the church, that says something. So quit baptizing the Jewish people. That's what I'm saying.
Or celebrities apparently are a big problem.
Really, I mean, Jesus got the same response when he tried to take the gospel to the Jews. So, should we even feel bad? I don't know.
I say yes.
I say yes too.
All right, we're gonna take a break from the serious business right now.
Yeah, this has been
for even more serious business. Al,
are you going to the 9-story MTC building or
no,
Gladys
no, no.
Knight's interview on BET?
Oh no! We'll get to that, but this is even bigger.
Is it the Facebook? For the church?
No.
Or is it the new book about the church? Or the Utah girls?
The Mormon Bachelor has announced its 12 finalists.
We have nothing but fluff stories, I'm realizing as I read through those. We have nothing of meat.
No, Mobatch is meat.
Oh yeah, Mobatch.
The 12 finalists, and we are telling all of you that Al and I are trying to interview every single one of them.
I want a 30-minute spot of just interviews from them, or we could do them all in short little 5-minute clips, but I'm...
Well, it's going to have to be. If it's a 5-minute clip with 12 men, that's an hour-long
show.
Yeah,
all right. I see what you're saying, math-wise, sure. But what interests me is they know the system. Why put yourself out there? And are there still women that would be willing to put themselves on the line to come out and date these guys?
Of course there are. It's the same reason women go on. People do it. Not even just women. Sorry that anyone does reality stuff. It's fun. You get out there. It's exciting.
Also, where are they going to do it? Are they still voting?
I think it honestly just depends on who they choose, and the applicants are very spread out this time around. Not just Intermountain West. Oh no, we got people all over the place. Florida, D.C., Chicago, people are all over the place. I think Chicago would be great because there are like so many YSAs there. Or if it even would, but we officially endorse one candidate. Al, why don't you do the honors? Because I think you love him more than I do.
Oh yeah, hold on. I need to find him again.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, this was a hard game. I didn't have that page up. Jeff, who was he? I can talk about him. I just don't remember his name.
Scotty Renner.
Scotty Renner.
Let's talk about Scotty Renner. 26 years old.
Big smile. Teeth the size of Grand Canyon just out there. Grinning.
He's a radio DJ.
Here's why we love Scotty Renner. This man BYU. Is 26 years old, panic-stricken after graduating from, in his words, BYU I Do, single, and wondering what to do now. He has a video full of his friends giving him accolades for being so nice. I just like him. He seems like a scrappy young man.
He's a great listener.
He's out there to wrangle himself a wife.
Yep. We like Scotty.
I think he's the dark horse in this race.
No, but we all know who Al really wants to be chosen.
Who's that?
Al. You know who you want to interview the most of any of them.
I wish Rick Buck would come back.
No, I
don't want to give away our secrets.
Okay, we don't have to do that, then. That's fine.
But they'll all be very good, and we promise to
But have you seen Kent Tuttle? The man is Kent Tuttle. The man is like a sex bomb. I mean, the sad thing is his name is Kent Tuttle, which makes me think of Mr. Tuttle from Saved by the Bell, who was decidedly not an attractive person.
Oh, yeah.
I can't get out of my mind, and I've been watching a lot of Saved by the Bell because it showed up on Netflix the other week.
You have a sad life, Jeff.
I feel like you grow up with Saved by the Bell, and it shows up, and it's like, how can I not love
you? You make me so sad.
No, my life is wonderful. We're excited for the Mobatch. Hopefully we will,
No, I am adamant that we will not do our stupid throwdowns and stuff again.
Oh, but they're fun.
But Jeff wants, I feel like we lose our quality listeners and only gain trashy listeners like Brittany Plothow and stuff.
Oh, that's really, look, no. We have to have, you know, we have to have a balance.
I kid, Brittany, it's a joke. Hey.
We have to have a balance, you know?
No,
just like most of this episode has fluff pieces. What are we supposed to do? We just embrace it and move on.
But there is some serious news here that we have that missionary from Cache Valley.
No,
it's not. Right. Okay. It was fluff. It was fluff. Is it by a bus in Brazil? And his name is Elder Britton Stephen Schenck. It's very unfortunate. There's been a lot of that stuff happening lately. Like missionaries being injured, it seems like.
Yeah, I guess it has. I don't know how he's doing, actually, Elder Schenck. I mean, his parents are with him right now, but he had to have neurosurgery to relieve the swelling of his brain, and he's currently in a medically induced coma.
Dude, I know we've talked about this a couple of times, but I could not imagine. You know, you send your kid away for 2 years, and like, you're just super excited for him to come back and all the experiences that he's going to have, and then something terrible happens where you, like, I mean, this. I just couldn't imagine. Hopefully he's all right. We're thinking of you, Elder Britton Stephen Schenck.
That was a surprisingly sincere moment from you, Al.
Yeah, you know. Now back to fluff. Do we have any more Mormon bachelor?
No, we've got some good stuff. So, you know how last week we had that infographic about you know, things about the church that we talked about.
Uh-huh.
This week the church has another infographic out all about volunteerism, basically trying to tout our volunteering credentials. I don't know. There is some interesting stuff though. Data shows that the average American volunteers about 48 hours per year to charitable causes, and the average Latter-day Saint volunteers 427.9 hours per year.
Are we counting like visiting, teaching, and home teaching and stuff?
I don't know. Basically, we are, it says right here, yeah, of course, much of Latter-day Saint volunteerism is religious in nature. Volunteer time to teach youth scripture classes or help prepare the chapel for worship. So basically, our callings count.
Also, can I challenge 48 hours of volunteering for the average American or the average person in the United States?
That's 4 hours per month.
Yeah, I don't believe that's true. I can't think of anybody that I know. Well, I guess everybody's got their church thing that they do, and that right there is a few hours a month. But like I can't think of anybody that I know outside of a church realm that volunteers at all.
Yeah, I mean,
we are except for like maybe an hour in a soup kitchen once a year.
Yeah. We also talk about charitable donations. This is a study, by the way, that came out of the University of Pittsburgh School of Social Policy and Practice, okay? And they surveyed church members. So, yeah, nearly 90% of active Latter-day Saints apparently pay tithing. I guess that makes sense if it's 90% of active Latter-day Saints.
Yeah, I believe it.
Because I think our overall tithing level is not great for the whole church, but also less than half of the church is you know, probably even active.
But they say the average Latter-day Saint will donate $1,800 outside of tithing every year?
I guess so. So I'm assuming that is fast offerings and the like.
This is a pretty weak infographic, isn't it?
Yeah, not as good. It's kind of pointless. And it's oddly colored.
And, well, I don't mind the... Like, the design isn't bad, but it's weird to high-five your... It's like, this is like the desperate guy making an infograph for why he's so great and you should date him.
So it's Bill O'Reilly, basically.
Hey, leave Papa Bear out of this.
But I do agree with you, because I feel like, and we've talked about this in the past, kind of that weird level of, isn't the nature of service just to go about our business quietly and not care about who knows about it? Yet we do our Mormon helping hands things and make everybody wear the vests that everyone knows. Ideally, we should just do these things and not care who knows about it.
It's true.
Because they don't need to know. That's the essence of service, isn't it?
So, I mean, come on. Gladys Knight, she was...
Oh, we love her.
She was interviewed on BET. Which, honestly, I can't think of a better venue for the church to be discussed than BET. They went through a couple of things with her, and part of it was talked about... You've been Mormon. The question was, you've been Mormon since the late 90s. Mitt Romney is the most famous Mormon in the world right now. Would you like to see him become president? She says, not now. I got to be honest with you. It's not about your faith. Even if the church itself and its structure is perfect, the people in it are not. That's not to say he's not a good person. Don't get me wrong. But I wouldn't vote for him just because he's Mormon. She's like, I'm a Barack Obama fan from head to toe. Always have been. I don't know why I'm reading that in like a Southern voice, but. So anyway, there.
Because you are a
Gladys
racist.
Knight is awesome. She does great stuff, and I like her answer. So not a bad interview actually. If you want to go read it, it's cool.
I think it's actually worth. I think it is actually worthwhile because it's nice to have a famous person with a point of view of like. I like exactly what she said. So just because he's Mormon doesn't mean I'm going to vote for him. I think he's a good guy, but. That's not my politics.
Isn't this sort of... Didn't we talk about this last week or the week before about people not wanting to come out in support of Mitt Romney because they would think it was stereotypical?
Yeah. That was last week or 2 weeks ago, yeah.
There she is. Counterculture Gladys. That's what we call her.
I love Gladys Knight. That's her name. Counterculture Gladys.
Little CCG. Anyway, also a 9-story building going in at the MTC.
This is huge.
Literally.
It will replace the Melvin J. Ballard building. I don't know which one that is at the MTC.
It was the brownstone building, I think.
Oh, that one.
About four stories and really carpeted walls, I believe. It had a bathroom on each floor.
Oh, right. That's the one. Vending machines somewhere.
Yeah. Bottom floor.
Mop buckets you can ride.
Oh. But don't let anybody see you because you get kicked off your mission.
Mm-hmm. That's what happened to us. We got kicked off.
It's true. No, so, 9 stories. Yeah, that's going to be a monster building right there. That's like Spencer W. Kimball Tower big.
Well, half the Swicket's like 13, but yeah. Yeah. Now, that's a tall building. It's like you get rid of Deseret Towers, and so you replace them with an MTC building that's 9 stories tall.
Then neighborhood chairman R. Paul Evans, I think he's an author for the church, said, we'd like to see 2 5-story buildings rather than 1 9-story.
This will be the only meeting held on the matter.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, let's see. Oh, okay. I know which building it is now. See, I should just read. The Melvin J. Ballard building has served as home to the MTC bookstore, the mailroom, and the training resource center and 4 large group meeting rooms. Okay. So I know where that is, where the bookstore was in the mailroom. So that's like a pretty central building. So it's just going to have this giant tower.
Oh my gosh.
MTC. That's just going to be a rammy-umptum right there for all the missionaries. Boom.
It would be great if there's a place where they can go and stand on the top of it to meditate / pray.
And look down on everybody else.
It's true. That's what I do.
So they're going to begin construction. Well, they got to do demo around.
They
got
to get it approved too. So we got a ways. But just heads up.
Yeah, but this is Provo. I mean,
they just mentioned that they want a whole street, and the city's like, sure, go for it.
That's really going to stick out though. A 9-story building right around there, and the pretty low, sprawled out MTC, and the Provo Temple all right there, and just this giant 9-story building just sticking up in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Eyesore, anyone?
Anywho.
Hey, tell me about the story about the problem with Utah Girls, Al.
No, that was more for your benefit. But you didn't even watch it. That was the one where
the guy
is trying to... I wouldn't even bring it up here, except that they're driving from,
Do we know that they're Mormon, though? No. Everyone said they're Mormon. What gives it away?
The fact that they're driving from, Logan to Boise. I mean, how much more Mormon can you get? And they're
driving from Provo to Draper.
Guilty. But this is the one where the guy is trying to explain to his wife what what miles per hour means.
It's when she's trying to figure out how many miles they can go if they're going 80 miles per hour.
I identified in her something I've seen in many of my buddies' wives out there. And I said, this is the problem with some Utah born and raised women. Not all, but some. I see bits of that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad for everyone.
It is sad. Anyway.
Real quick, there's a good new book out about what makes Mormons tick.
Is it good?
It looks like the Deseret News likes it. Deseret News Beta likes it. I think the main point is that it's by a major publisher, Random House, and it's about Latter-day Saints, but it's nice because it's not they say it's not a whitewashed, sanitized version, that's all happy, and it's also not like an expose like we often get in the media. It's just a as they call it, a, quote, dry-eyed, often affectionate examination of what it means to be a Mormon in 2012. The author doesn't sidestep controversy, but he doesn't sensationalize it. He just kind of goes through things in a matter-of-fact, normal way. He
says, most practicing Mormons will be acquainted with 90% of the material. So 10% surprise. We learn about both Brigham
that's
Young
be the part when he,
and Steve
That's going to be the part when he talks about, seer stones and hats for translating the Book of Mormon, and people are going to be like, wait a minute. I always thought that Joseph Smith just sat there with the plates in front of him and looked at them and just translated.
That always it always surprises me when people are like surprised at church history because they just haven't haven't learned it. They haven't read about it. And even more so, once they get in there, they're like, no, that's crazy. But you forget, God deals with us in kind of crazy ways.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is that it's hard. I mean, we talked about this a bit, that, our manuals don't necessarily adequately reflect every aspect of our history. And, the funny thing is, even if you read the Joseph Smith manual, for example, that we had, for 2 years, it made a point to – it only mentions his one wife, Emma, and it actually forbids the discussion of Joseph Smith and polygamy.
Really?
And any of his polygamous marriages. Yeah. It says it in guidelines. It says that is a matter that is closed and is not to be discussed in class.
Oh, wow.
And so that's fascinating to me. And it's whatever. But it surprises people just because we don't educate about what our actual history is on stuff. Like that. Like the seer stones in the hat. Whoop-de-doo. I don't mind. Like you said, God interacts with us in peculiar ways sometimes, so I'm not going to stand super surprised.
Well, and why is staring at a stone in a hat any worse than staring at plates through a stone? I don't know.
Right. Well, the thing is, every picture we have, you see all these drawings, and it would show Joseph Smith sitting there at a table with his finger on the golden plates as if he just looks at them and sees the translation and just spews it off to Oliver Cowdery, which was apparently not really the case.
It's true.
At all. And they don't talk about it. They don't even talk about it if you take the tour of the Smith family farm. There's no mention of hats or stones.
Why are you suddenly obsessed with hats and stones?
It's just the example.
This seems like a new thing for you.
Maybe because I went to Hat and Stone Land this weekend. I don't know. It's just I'm...
The Grandin Building.
I'm in a hat and stone kind of place.
I believe you.
What can I say?
Well, Jeff, heck of a week. We had a lot of ground to cover, but we did it.
Oh, do you want to mention the cool Facebook timeline?
Oh, yes, I do. Thank you.
I think you'd want that one. Yes.
Yeah, so the church is doing a really cool thing social media-wise where they took their Facebook timeline, which we all have on Facebook now, and they went clear back to 1830, adding significant events in the history of the church. So you can scroll through and, they have a little blurb for when the priesthood was restored and when Joseph Smith was born and all that stuff. So pretty neat use of social media. Good job, church.
Good job, church. Of course, did you see the first comment on that screenshot you sent
well,
me?
Well, no, the church. So the church shared it. They said, how has this Facebook page blessed your life?
And the first guy says, it hasn't, but it looks really nice.
Exactly.
Good job on your social media, church. And incidentally, on our Facebook page, which is, of course, facebook.com/thisweekinmormons, we have migrated over to the new timeline style. I don't know if you've seen it yet, Al.
I haven't. Have we put our significant timelines up?
You should go take a look at just what I used for our cover photo.
Oh, yes. Where is that? Myrtle?
That's in Myrtle. I was trying to find more recent photos of just you and me together. That's all I had.
Boy, them are some kind of chops.
Or, I mean, I guess I could look for the ones when we went to Cozumel, but I look terrible in most of them.
we should put up... No, I've got one. I'll add it. We can battle on the covers.
We'll just change it like every day.
Yes.
So the people like. Anyway, so of course, find us there, folks. And please find us at Twitter, slash at The Real Twim. And shoot us an email, contact@thisweekinmormons.com. And of course, visit thisweekinmormons.com for all of your needs and for Sunday School Bonanza and many other things. In brief recap. Okay, I'm going to tear through these.
Okay.
YSA Central, ridiculous website. Volunteering infographics, some information about bot, church-wide emails. Facebook timeline, President Uchtdorf goes flying.
The Uchtdorfen.
Al discovered great things about tithing this week. A book about the church, missionaries hurt by buses in Brazil. The church is buying 100 South. Mormon Bachelor, woohoo! Gladys is interviewed. New MTC building. And dumb Utah girls who don't know what miles per hour actually means.
Amen.
Please talk to us.
Good work, Jeff.
Thank you, sir.
All right, man. Hey, have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see next week.
We do appreciate it, and we will see you all on the flip side. Until then, keep it real, y'all.
Woo!
And I'm going to give a shout-out to all of our listeners in Canada. Thank you for your hospitality. All right.
Thanks, Canada.
Thanks, Canada. This has been This Week in Mormons, Twim, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye. It's a bad time you made a choice. But when you're coming over.